Greetings to all of God's people. This is again Mordecai Joseph. We are today in lesson 312, and we're going to continue from where we stopped last time in chapter 25 of Leviticus in verse 33. Let's continue from this point, where God basically tells His people that if they know they're going to follow His system, everything's going to be well with them, and they will be abundantly blessed, be it, you know, the year of release, or the Jubilee, or whatever it may be. And obviously, you know, all of them had to, in obedience to God, had to live by faith that God will take care of all these things. And when people departed from God, everything began to unravel in the land of Israel. As a matter of fact, by the time of, and that happened several times before that, but, you know, by the time of Jesus Christ, before Jesus Christ, the rabbis who began to be there shortly before that, the main teachers of Israel, was no longer the priests, was no longer the Levites. People didn't trust them because they were, unfortunately, being Hellenized and watering down the law of God. And so people did not trust them. And so the people that were trusted were the Pharisees, for that matter, you know, anybody who was not a Hellenizer. And so the Pharisees began to, in essence, by sitting in the seat of Moses by default, you see, because the priests would not do their job properly, and Christ acknowledged that. He, in essence, legitimized that reality by making it very plain to His people, to His own disciples, in Matthew 23, that, you know, the Pharisees and the scribes sit in the seat of Moses. You see, according to the law, the priests should be there and the Levite. But because they departed from God, God allowed, you know, these people to basically be in that position. And as long as they taught the law of God, you see, God says it's okay, follow them. Anything that tells you, in other words, you have to understand what He's talking about. Anything that tells you which is in accordance with My law, with the law of God, you better do. That's not done away with. He Himself said that. Don't think that, you know, I came to do away with the law. And so anybody who teaches the law of God, basically, He tells you what God said. You know, He's not saying, speaking His own words. And when that is what you hear, He says, you basically do it. You just don't follow their example. You know, there is a difference between people's examples and what they do, what they say. And oftentimes people say the right thing, but their own example is not that good. And so the tendency is, throw the baby with the bathwater. You know, I can't hear you because of what you are. And we haven't learned to separate one from the other. And a mature person knows how to discern between good and evil instead of throwing away everything, the good and the evil. And that makes him just as bad as the other person that is not really honest, you know, with the words that he speaks. And so that's what God, basically, that is the principle. You know, there are a lot of people, obviously it's very hard to listen to people like that. But if you learn to look to God and not to man, we bypass the man, and what the words that he says are right, they are right. Regardless of who said it, including the devil himself. You see, and some people forget that. And so Christ made it very plain. They sit in the seat of Moses, whatever they tell you, you know, in accordance with the law of God, you do. And unfortunately, before that, not all of them followed the law of God as they should. Many of the things that they've done were right. And so there were a lot of good Pharisees, like, you know, Paul and many others. A Pharisee of the Pharisee, as touching the law, he said, blameless. And there were many other Pharisees who were blameless. And we find encounters of Jesus Christ with people like that. In other words, blameless. You know, Zechariah and his wife, you know, the parents of John and many others that he encountered there. If, you know, he says about the young man, you know, he loved him. He just wouldn't follow him, was not willing to give up his riches. But there were a lot of people like that. And, you know, as Paul himself later on said, in the last trip, you know, that he took to Jerusalem, and he was caught there because they thought that he brought a Gentile there. He told them, I realize, brethren, you're all zealous in all the law, just as I am, you see. He was not just trying to carry fervor, you know, with them. That was reality. There was an awful lot of zeal of the zeal of God. It's just oftentimes they had the zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. And that happened when the rabbis, unfortunately, began to inject their own concepts and ideas. You see, not in malice, but in ignorance. You see, and people followed them. And so in those days, there was a great rabbi, Hillel. You see, he was the grandfather of Gamaliel, the teacher of Saul, the apostle, who became, you know, also, he's also known as Paul, Saul and Paul, Rabbi Shaul, as they call him in Hebrew, or Saul. And this man taught, basically, which is unfortunate, not according to the law of God, and that set, in essence, sort of a precedence for the entirety of the halakha, that is the teachings, you know, the interpretation of the law that came later on, which is a very bad precedence. And he said, look, we've got a situation here where people are just not, you know, they're not obeying the law of God. They're not following the law of Moses. They do their own thing. You can't get them to give back the land when they're supposed to. And so you've got a situation where, since people behave in that manner, if somebody wants to borrow money because he needs it, he's poor, nobody wants to give it to him because he knows the Jubilee is coming, or the year of release is coming, and he's not going to pay for it. So what are we going to do under the circumstances? Well, instead of saying, hey, you better obey the law of God or else, you see, teach them to obey the law of God and function that way, he functions from within the system, you see, and try to work out things, you know, based on the way things are, instead of teaching them the way things should be, as Christ did. And he said, well, you know, Moses, you know, now he's leaning to human understanding and reasoning. He says, Moses said about the law of God that if we do those things, we shall live in them, not die in them. Which means that, you know, if people are not willing to give you a loan, you're going to die. Because, you know, they're not willing to obey the law of God. And so instead of telling them, you know, no, you're all wrong. You should be giving and you should trust in God and wait on Him. Instead of that, he leaned to his own understanding, you know, human reasoning. And that's what people who are not of God, unfortunately, do. And when we're not of God, that's the way we function. We lean to our own understanding. And, you know, the people of God can be guilty of that oftentimes. Even with the Holy Spirit, even mature people, we make mistakes, you see. We lean to our own understanding and God warned us not to do it. And then we depart from the law and we say, well, okay, what are we going to do under the circumstances? You see? And this is what he did, so it became a precedence. Now the rabbis began to use that line. Well, any time the law of God was contrary to the way things were, they altered the law of God. And it got to the point where, in the days of Christ, and far beyond that, as it continued, where the law of God became of none effect. That's what Christ was talking about. This is your tradition, he said. This is not the teachings of the law. Instead of teaching them what the law says, and to abide by it, and to have faith in God, and God will have respect for you, you lean to your own understanding under the circumstances. You caved in essence, to the system, to the way things are, and you altered the law of God, and you made the law of God of none effect. And this is just one example. But by making that statement, and who was, you know, the person that was the greatest rabbi at the time, Rabbi Hillel, well, obviously, all the other rabbis are going to follow in his footsteps. You see? And to this very day, they're paying the penalty for it. And basically, much of the writings that came after that, in terms of the halakha, the Mishnah, the Talmud, and all the writings that came after that by many rabbis, they're all more or less based on this departure from the law of God and this statement of Rabbi Hillel. And so now that they feel, well, you know, the Bible, you know, the Torah, was in heaven, it belonged to God, and now that it is in our own hand, it's up to us to interpret it. You see? And obviously, you know, we want to understand what it says, so we sit down and we begin to read it. But when we lean to our own understanding, we are the interpreters of it. But when we lean to the understanding of God, He is the interpreter of what He wrote. And that's how He does it, by the Holy Spirit. He opens our minds to really know, what did He mean? Not just what He said. What did He mean? And what do we do under this circumstance or the other? So any time we give our minds and our hearts to our own understanding, we become idol worshippers. We become the God that interprets, the lawgiver, instead of God Himself. And so all of us, to one degree or the other, are in the confusion and the division and the conflicts that we have and all these things because of that. We too followed in the footsteps of Rabbi Hillel to that degree. And we do not realize it, even though we may have never known that he made that statement. Man should never lean to his own understanding. Man shall live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. But how are you going to do it if you don't know what he means? By what he said. You see? What Christ said? Don't worry about it. I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. You see, and the Spirit will lead us to truth. But if we are not obedient, the Spirit will not be with us. And a lot of people are disobedient. They abhor the law of God. Why should God give them the Holy Spirit? You see, so they'll lean to their own understanding and they invent their own law. You see? And so they called it, that's why we have all this terminology that were never in existence before. We now have principle, you know, Christian values, Christian principle, Christian doctrines, Christian this, Christian that. God says, hey, these are my laws, my statutes, my ordinances, my, you know, commandments and so forth. We said, oh no, that's an old law. We don't need that. You see, we don't need that Jesus Christ. It's an old-fashioned Jesus Christ. Throw him out. We got a new Jesus, improved. You know, just like they do in commercials. Well, we're paying the penalty for it, and the day will come when Jesus Christ will return and tell them, hey, nothing was done away with. It's going to be all exactly the same law. It's neither old nor new. It's eternal. And we should know the difference. A lot of people don't know the difference between eternal and between old and new. You see? And until heaven and earth are not going to be disappeared, you know, in other words, as I said, until heaven and earth shall pass away, not one jot or one tittle shall pass from the law. So what is old and what is new? There is no such a thing. A covenant, yes, is old and new. An old marriage is gone. You see? And then there is a new covenant, but all based on the same law. That's why I said I shall put my laws. You see? Not your concept of Christian doctrine, principles, and all these things, but my laws, the one that I gave in Sinai, in person, I will put it now in your hearts. And nobody's going to be rebellious at that time. And so this is what we are reading here. The law of Christ. The doctrine of Christ is eternal. You see? It's spiritual and it is holy. And that's what God is telling them. And so we continue from verse 33, where it says, if a man purchase all the Levites, then the house that was sold in the city of his possession shall go out in the Jubilee, for the houses of the cities of the Levites are their possession among the children of Israel. God gave it, and we have to realize that this was according to the law of God, who told Moses that you tell Israel, when you go to the land, you divide, you know, your territory among yourselves, and then make sure that all the Levites have their own cities too, depending on the size of the tribe, you see, and the size of the land. And so this was not done by, you know, the will of man. Well, they decided, you know, out of their own goodness to donate, you know, something for the ministers, you know, that they had, the Levites, the priests, you know, as people do later on. They think that they're doing them a favor. Oh, God is the one that gave it to them. It's not out of the largesse of man. It is God's law, you see, God's land, God's inheritance. And so he said, the Levites have no land among you because I didn't give it to them. So these are going to be their properties that you're going to give them, beside all the other things that you're going to give them in terms of the tithe and offerings and vows and everything else. You see? And that's what he's saying here. Verse 34. But the fields of the open land about their cities may not be sold. So they could sell a house within one of those cities that they owned. It's in the cities of the Levites, but as far as the land is concerned, God forbid the priests, the Levites, from selling it. And obviously he forbids anybody from buying it or even attempting to buy it, you know, or contriving to buy it or whatever it may be, because God is God. And a person is going to disobey his law, well, God's going to take care of that person. And so that's what he's saying here. They cannot sell it. They may not be sold, for that is their perpetual possession, period. That's the law. Well, people do not obey the law and they had to pay the penalty for it. And oftentimes, you know, the priests and Levites were disinherited from their land because of, you know, disobedience on the part of people. You know, the chicanery, so to speak, and corruption in government and leaders and things like that. And they couldn't care less about the law of God. So gradually the Levites disappeared from many of those places and the people paid the penalty to the hilt for it. Verse 35, and if your brother be waxen poor, and his means fail with you, then you shall uphold him. It's the responsibility of the family. You see? You don't tell him, well, go get welfare. You know, go to the government. You take care of him, God says. As a stranger and a settler shall he live with you. Well, if whatever reason he's not functioning properly, you know, maybe he's lazy or whatever it may be, well, take him. Take care of him. He's going to be like a stranger and a settler with you. You know, give him a job. this way is going to go on living and wait for the year of release. He says, take you no interest of him or increase, but fear your God. You see, the institution of banking, of taking interest, of impoverishing people in the process of destruction of the economy, you see, was prohibited in the nation of God. You could not take interest in the nation of God, period. You see, God did not want people to do that. You know, when they have needs to be for a home, for a house, for a livelihood, and things like that. And later on, when people departed from the land and everything was in chaos, and they ended up in cities and they had businesses and things like that, then they began to allow, you know, taking interest, because after all, you know, you're in the city now, everything is different, totally new economy, new society, which is all contrary to God. And under the circumstances, you know, they were allowed to charge interest and to take interest, which created horrible conditions and situations as they do to this very day. You see, you go and get a little loan, you know, for to buy a house or things like that. You're enslaved for the entirety of your life. You never get to pay it. You see, and oftentimes, you know, when you can't pay, you know, you do not make a payment, the bank couldn't care less to take the property away from you. That's the law. You see, that's what God said. I don't want any of that. You know, the nations of the earth are doing it, and it says you want to charge interest, charge the foreigner, not one of your own. You see, well, people departed from that, and now we take it for granted. Well, that's the way things are. God does not allow a banking system in his economy. Everybody sits in his own land, and what do you need a banking system for? Work with your own hands. God blesses you. You got all that you need. Never take a loan in your life. You see? It's only when you haven't done things right or in calamity came upon you for whatever reason that you find yourself, you know, between the cracks, and then the family has to take care of that and restore you so you don't end up in this condition. And so he said, well, in this case, he's going to be a stranger and a settler. He shall be with you and take you no interest of him or increase, but fear God. And when people do not fear God, they begin to take interest and take advantage of their own fellow men. You see, and pretty soon they're not even their own relatives, just anybody. What do they care? He says, don't do that. Fear God, that your brother may live with you. You shall not give him your money upon interest, nor give him your victuals for increase. In other words, you know, whatever he needs, make a living. Why? I am the Eternal, your God, who brought you forth out of the land of Egypt to give you the land of Canaan to be your Elohim. A good reason? You see? And that's what God says to his own nation, his own people. I don't want any banking system here. I don't want interest. I don't want people, you know, charging each other and impoverishing them, enslaving them for the rest of their lives. I don't want people to get rich based on the miseries of their neighbors. You got more? Help. You see? Help someone. And then God will take care of your needs. You'll never go poor just because you gave. Because God owns the whole universe, He'll give you more. So He forbade the banking industry. He forbade interest because of all the evils that it creates. All people think it's a good thing. It's not. In the short run, it may seem to be good because of the confused society in which we are. But in the long run, even in these conditions, it's not good. A lot of people are horribly impoverished because the banking system is, you know, is gouging them, and for the life of them, they can never pay even the interest. You see, and then, you know, they give them more loans so they can pay the interest, which is foolishness. And God is going to totally obliterate that from under heaven. You see, that's contrary to the system of God. But that's what happens when we reject the law of God. We end up, you know, doing our own things under the circumstances, and we pay the penalty, you know. We're all following in that precedence that Hillel, and I'm sure others have done it before that, before him in different ways, had created there, and the whole world is paying the penalty for it. You see, in the system of God, all that would not exist. Everyone is going to be in his own land under his fig tree, under his run, and none shall make him afraid. You'll never have to worry about, you know, the IRS or the municipality, whatever, you know, come and take your property away from you. Throw you out. It'll never happen. You see, these are all demonic in nature, and we think it's good and okay, you know. A banker nowadays has a good reputation. Well, he's a banker. What's a good profession to be in? You see? That's evil on the side of God. But, you know, we are now in this system. We're all in slavery, and we function under the system. And so, on the other hand, you know, we should not regard people like that in the banking industry as evil beasts and things like that, because we're not talking now about the kingdom of God. We're in the kingdom of the devil. This is this world. And Christ said, that's not my world. If it was, you know, my servants would fight. So this is not the time to resist it. That's the time to submit to it, because we got ourselves into it. You see, if not individually, as people who departed from the law of God a long time ago. So God says, now that you are in that condition, submit to it. Submit to the rulers of this world. Submit to the wicked practices and things like that, and wait on God to deliver you. And He is the deliverer, and not us. Lots of people like to take things into their own hands and fight the system. God didn't call us to do that. Verse 38. He says, you don't do that because I'm the eternal, your God. You know, I'm the one that brought you out of Egypt. I own you. I own the land. I own everything. You do things my way, you see. And that's all there is to it. That was very simple. That's the simplicity of Christ. This is Christ speaking here. And so He said, I'm your Elohim. Verse 39. And if your brother be waxen poor with you, and sell himself unto you. What does it mean, sell himself unto you? He says, hey, brother, you know, I say, I'm not doing well, whatever it may be, you know. Calamity, or lazy, or somebody died, or, you know, locust came, devastated my crop, all kind of things like that. Would you give me a job? That's what it means, sell himself to you. He's hiring himself. You see, a lot of people read that and think, you know, well, how can God, you know, God allow slavery among His people? We don't even understand what slavery is. You work for somebody else. All of us are doing it. You see, even the boss that owns the company, he works, you know, for all his clients. Everybody's a slave nowadays. That means everybody's a worker. Everybody's got to work for a living. That's all there is to it. Slavery, you know, is not something that is horrible. That was a way to do things when, you know, you are not the boss. Totally, wholeheartedly, in every way. According to the system of God, you know. But when we depart from God and things go bad, He says, well, that's the way you're going to deal with it. And so He gave laws for that. If a man, you know, if your brother, you know, your brother means your cousin, your uncle, your relative, your nephew, niece, whatever it means, your neighbor, which is, you know, they were all assembly-oriented anyway, so everybody who did it was a member of your family or extended family. And so He said, if he does it, sell himself unto you, you shall not make him to serve as a bond servant. You see, bond servants were the foreigners. God did not allow Israel to have a bond servant from Israel, from the foreigners yet. Yeah, they're not in my kingdom, you see. So he said, well, they can be in that category. But it's your own brother. He's not allowed to be a bond servant. Now, that's the difference between a servant or a slave and a bond slave. You see, a bond slave is in perpetuity. You bought him with your own money. He never goes out. Period. You see? And an Israelite could be a bond servant by choice. If he chose to be that way, God says, okay, that's the way you choose. Then you're going to be there, and even when the Jubilee comes, you're not going to go home. You know, which were very few circumstances where people did it. You know, people who could not handle themselves, you know, can take care of their own affairs. They say, well, I guess that's the way I am. That's, you know, that's the best thing for me, and I've got a good boss, you know, and who cares? But otherwise, God says, that's a no-no. You're not allowed to do that. And so God says, he's going to be as a hired servant, and as a settler, he shall be with you, and he shall serve with you unto the year of the Jubilee, and then shall he go out from you, he and his children with him, and shall return unto his own family, and unto the possession of his father shall he return. For why? That's the reason he says, for they are my servants, and you know, when they are my servants, they cannot be your servants either. You see, it's either me or you. They say, they are my servants, that is, my bond slaves. I own them in perpetuity, you see, forever. It says, for they are my servants whom I brought forth out of the land of Egypt. You didn't do it. I did it. They are mine. And they shall not be sold as bondmen. Never. You know, make them to be in that category. And if you do, I'm coming after you. Verse 43, you shall not rule over him with rigor, you know, while he's working for you. Don't abuse him. But shall fear your God. You see, and it's only when people fear God that they function in harmony and unity and love and mercy and kindness. And maybe some people don't have that, but at least they fear God. They're afraid to do it because, you know, how people develop this idea, well, the boogeyman is going to be after me. You see, and that's, you know, that should not be the attitude toward God, but some people function that way. And out of fear, they don't do evil. Instead of out of love, not to do evil, out of love to God, they do it out of fear. But if that's all you have, God says you better fear, because I'm coming after you. You see, so he said, you shall fear God. And as for your bondmen and your bondmaids, whom you may have, of the nations that are round about you, of them shall you buy bondmen and bondmaids. You see, but not of the children of Israel, because they are all my slaves, my bond servants, forever. And the people of Israel, unfortunately, did not obey this law of God and had to pay the penalty for it in so many ways. Verse 45, moreover of the children of the strangers that do sojourn among you, of them may you buy, and of their families that hire with you, that are with you, which they have begotten in your land, and they may be your possession, but not of your own, you see. Verse 46, and you may make them an inheritance for your children after you, so you pass them on to hold for possession. Of them may you take your bondmen forever. But over your brethren, the children of Israel, you shall not rule one over another with rigor. And that's what he told Adam and Eve in the beginning. This is the land, this is the earth, rule over it. You see? Not rule over one another. And yet that's exactly in essence what Cain began to do. Well, he couldn't get his brother to submit to him, and he killed him. And it's been going on since that time. You know, the line of Cain, the people of Cain, until all of them perished in the flood. And only Noah was left alive. And then, you know, as they continued beyond the flood, they continued, unfortunately, in the same way of Cain. Went back to it. And that's what happens, because the way of Cain is the way of the devil, and the devil is there always, before, after the flood, doesn't make any difference. And if people are willing to listen to him instead of listen to God, he's going to inject into them the mind of Satan, the way of Cain, instead of the way of God. You know, there are two religions basically on this earth. Either you're in the religion of God, the way of God, the law of God, the Torah of God, or you're in the way of Cain. There are no in-betweens. And most people who call themselves Christians are in the way of Cain. You see? When they have the contempt for the Torah of God, for the law of God. That's all there is to it. And any time any one of us disobeys, you know, any law of God, we walk in the way of Cain. Verse 47, and if a stranger who is a settler with you be waxing rich, now he's talking about a stranger, and your brother be waxing poor beside him, and sell himself unto the stranger who is a settler with you, or to the offshoot of a stranger's family, after that he is sold, he may be redeemed. That's the law of God. One of his brethren may redeem him. Or his uncle's son, you know, his nephew, may redeem him. In other words, if this is what you did, you know, selling yourself to a stranger, the family is allowed to come and redeem you any given time. It doesn't have to wait, you know, for the Jubilee or this or that. That's the law of God. Because God doesn't want his people to be slaves to each other, or much less to the foreigner. And so he says, you can redeem him any time. That is nigh of kin unto him, of his family, may redeem him. Or if he be waxen rich, he may redeem himself. So if he did pretty good, you know, worked hard, now he can redeem himself. And that, again, any given time. He doesn't have to wait for the Jubilee. Because those laws were not applicable to the strangers, only to Israel. Verse 50, and he shall reckon with him that bought him from the year that he sold himself to him unto the year of Jubilee, and the price of his sale shall be according unto the number of years, according to the time of a hired servant shall he be with him. So if he sold himself, let's say he makes a contract, you see, and the contract would be, well, you know, let's say until the year of Jubilee, let's say you've got 7 years left, or 10 years, or 20 years left, well, that's the price that he pays you for hiring yourself, and you give it to your family. Now that you redeem yourself, you know, basically he says, well, pay me back what I paid for you. So whatever years you are left until the Jubilee, you count that out, you figure that out, and you pay it. You see, so that's something they did also among themselves. But even with the strangers, he says, don't take advantage of them either in this sense. And in this case, that's the way you do it. And so in verse 51 you read, if there be yet many years, according unto them, he shall give back the price of his redemption out of the money that he was bought for. So, when he sold yourself, let's say you got $50,000, you know, contract, you know, between now and the Jubilee. You see? And if you got so many years left, well, you take the money, you take out of the money that he gave you. Hopefully you didn't spend it. If you did, you're in trouble. But you get that money and pay him back. And so God wanted even among the strangers there to be, you know, a nation of honesty, not to take advantage of anybody. After all, he'd done it legally, you see. And everything should be functioning in that way. That's the law of God. Liberty for all. Justice for all. Fairness for all. Righteousness for all. And that's what you do. In verse 52, and if there remain but a few years unto the year of Jubilee, then he shall reckon with him according unto his years, shall he give back the price of his redemption. You see? One way or the other. Do it fair. Verse 53, as a servant hired year by year shall he be with him. He shall not rule with rigor over him in your sight. You see? So the stranger is not allowed to take advantage of that servant of his who is an Israelite and abuse him. Because the law made it very plain. If you abuse a person, you go free. And so the community will make sure that you go free. You see? They'll come after the stranger. And so the law was there to protect everybody. The stranger and the Israelite. Verse 53, as a servant hired year by year shall he be with him, he shall not rule with him, over him with rigor in your sight. And if he be not redeemed by any of these means, you know, nobody in his family can redeem him, and he probably already maybe spent the money, maybe he owed so much money, so he gave it, you know, to the creditors, whatever it may be, then he shall go out in the year of Jubilee. In that case, tough luck. You got to wait until the year of Jubilee. And that's where it's going to be. He and his children with him. Because obviously that means his wife also. Because that's what happens, you know. You cannot take care of yourself. Well, you sell yourself. You don't sit home, you know, and wait for a welfare check to come to you. God forbid this system of welfare. You see? And, you know, even the poor that could come to your land and field and reap, you know, and get things for themselves, for their needs, they had to work for it. They had to go and do it. They didn't sit home and you came over then and just took care of them. You see? That's how they retained their dignity and respect. And so they worked very hard. Maybe you looked at them and said, hey, those guys are hardworking. And you go and ask them, hey, well, how would you like to work for me? You see? And there you're going to have fairness and dignity and respect and honor. And that's the way it worked. That's the system of God. This is the law of God. We're not talking about labor laws. People don't go to the Bible to, you know, for labor laws. You know, they don't go to the Torah. Why? Yeah, it's all done away with. It's old stuff. You know, it's Jewish. We don't want it. What do we have? You see, we have the complexity of labor laws, you know, that make all of us miserable. And so we've got real estate that make us miserable, you know, laws of real estate and banking and so far. Well, this is what God is talking about here. He's talking about the economy and the way it works. And if it works and functions according to His law, His way, His teachings, everything goes well. And if it doesn't, tough luck. We're going to bear the penalty and have to wait until the kingdom comes. That's why we are where we are. We have to realize that. So we have no business resisting this system. We brought it upon ourselves. Either, you know, in terms of our peoples that came ahead of us, or by our own behavior, whatever it may be, one way or the other, whichever is the case, God says, if this is what you have done to yourself, and, you know, there is no legal way of extricating yourself out of it, proper way, fair way, tough luck. Stay there until I'm ready to deliver you, and then the trumpet will sound, and the whole earth is going to be liberated, that is, in the leftovers from humanity, and the new system will kick in at that point. And everybody's going to function that way, because God is going to make sure everybody goes to their land. And that's basically what God says here. And he ends up by saying, for unto me the children of Israel are servants, they are my servants, whom I brought forth out of the land of Egypt. I am the Eternal, your Elohim. All of us were Israelites, were brought out of the land of Egypt. When you think about it, many people that came up with them were also strangers. You see, and their descendants are still around to this very day. Of course, nobody knows who they are. But God brought us out of Egypt. God brought us out of spiritual Egypt, out of bondage, and we belong to Him, and we function based on His laws, and we wait for Him to deliver us, and we do not deliver ourselves. And unfortunately, there are many who call themselves followers of God, Christians. And they go to church every Sunday, or they go to Sabbath, you know, services, and things like that. And they want to take the sword into their own hand and deliver themselves. Now, if they do it by legal means, no problem. But when they do it out of the spirit of spite and, you know, and all kind of things like that, and they make things even much more tougher for them and those around them, that's not the way of God. You see, that's the time to submit to slavery until God comes to redeem us. You know, if we do our best anyway, you know, the government lets us alone, not all the way, but at least, you know, we're able to have a measure of freedom. We should be glad for it, because in many other countries it's so much worse. And all have to wait until thy kingdom come, thy will be done. That's why we are sighing and mourning every day, because of all the misery we have to go through, and we do not rebel against it. We submit to it, you see, until redemption comes. These are the genuine people of God who are obedient to the Torah of God and the law of God, even when we got ourselves, you know, between the cracks there and we're stuck. We wait for the deliverance to come from God, and we do what we can on our own, as God says, you know. You got yourself in trouble, you know, have somebody in your family take care of you, or you work hard and get yourself out of this situation. And if you can't, stay there until redemption comes. And so this is a principle for all of us to abide by and to learn and to be submissive to the will of God unto death. That's what God called us to, this way of life. And of course, a lot of people are not willing to follow that. That's what Christ told His church, you know, His people. You read in Revelation 2 and 3, be you faithful unto death. Don't rebel. You know, don't riot. Don't take things into your own hands. Be faithful unto death, if need be. You see, when you can do something, you do something. When Paul could appeal to Caesar, he appealed to Caesar. There was a time when he couldn't do that anymore. He killed him. That's it. He submitted himself to it. And so we have to learn these lessons and really be servants of God in that way until the end. Even Jesus Christ gave us an example. You see, he learned obedience. He learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And he told us to take that very cross and follow him and be willing to submit, you see, to the sufferings of this world and learn obedience to Him unto death. And that's what He says here. For unto me, the children of Israel, and that includes all of us, spiritual Israel, physical Israel, we are servants. They are my servants whom I brought forth out of the land of Egypt, in our case, out of Babylon. I am the Eternal, your Elohim. This is Jesus Christ speaking in person to Moses, to Israel, later on in Jerusalem, and to every single one of us through His Word, and we just read His Word right here. This is not the words of men. Chapter 26, He says in verse 1, you shall make no idols. When do people make idols? When they take things into their own hands. Look for their own solutions. That's what makes us idol worshippers, and all of us to one degree or the other, if we're not careful, we are idol worshippers. When we take things into our own hands, when we lean to our own understanding, our own intelligence, our own ways, you see, and it could be anything, an idol is anything. It's not just, you know, something that you build with your own hand and you bow down to it. You know, this is the physical manifestation of it. Yes, people do it too. But anything that we, our own hands made, could be machinery, a car, you know, insurance, job, education, leadership, government, system, whatever it may be, our organization, our church, our ethics, our doctrines, anything that comes before God that is not of God is an idol. He says, don't do it. You know, just the laws before that just made it very plain for them. You look to me, I'm the God that brought you out of Egypt. I owned you, you obey my laws. And if you depart from that, you are making idols. And when Rabbi Hillel, he said, well, you got to interpret the law of Moses, you know, according to the circumstances, he was creating an idol, and people worship that idol to this very day. You see? And all of us are guilty of it to one degree or the other, even though, you know, we didn't have our own personal Rabbi Hillel. We had somebody else to do it for us, telling us what to think, you see, claiming that God speaks only through him, and those have been coming, you know, and going for the last 2,000 years. That's what Christ said. Many shall come in my name, saying that I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And God told us to prove all things. And any, you know, even a sincere person may be in that category if he's living to his own understanding. God says, don't make idols. Neither shall you rear up a graven image or a pillar, neither shall you place any figured stone in your land to bow down unto it. For I am the Eternal, your God. And we spent some time earlier speaking about idols and what is idolatry. You see? Anything that comes between us and God. That's what Paul said, in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. He says, we have to be the ministers of God. Have to cast down all imaginations and everything that erects itself or withstands God or Jesus Christ, you see, cast it down. That's an idol. And bring every thought, every attitude, every feeling, every act, everything to subjection of Jesus Christ. You see, under subjection to Jesus Christ. Everything. Good thought, bad thought, feelings, attitudes, anything that we do, things will enter our own understanding. Bring everything under subjection to Jesus Christ. And how you do it? Well, Jesus Christ gave us a law, a way of life. We follow it, we bring it to subjection to Him. We don't, we invent our own teachings, our own thoughts, our own solutions. We have raised idols, and we bow down to them one way or the other. And that's what He's saying here. This is the same God, the same teachings. And God says, I am the Lord your God. Jesus Christ saying, I am Jehovah, I am the Eternal, I am your Elohim. You see, you follow Me. As I follow the commandments of My Father. And Paul repeated the same. You follow Me as I follow Christ, who obviously followed the Father, teachings of the Father when He came here in the flesh. You see? And the only way we can do it is by studying His Torah and walking in it day and night, from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation, the last verse. That's what the Torah of God is all about. The teachings, the body of instructions, His doctrines. You see? Then he can use the terminology in the proper way when he understands it, Christian doctrine, Christian values, Christian system, Christian teachings, Christian this and Christian that. All you're saying, the teachings of God, or the law of the God of Israel, that came in the flesh. You see? And that's the same law of the Father. But people have no understanding like that. They don't know what they're talking about. And they think they've got a new religion. And so he said, I am the Lord, your Elohim. You shall keep My Sabbath. You've got your own Sabbath on Sunday or Friday or any other day. You've got an idol. You see, keep My Sabbath, not yours. And reverence My sanctuary. And everybody builds, their own sanctuary, and they have their holy cities everywhere. You see, God says, this is not Mine. And if you don't reverence Mine, My sanctuary, you're an idol worshiper. He says, that's what you do because I am the Eternal. Nobody else is. And that's very simple. And there are people, unfortunately, in our midst, who are willing, maybe grudgingly, maybe willingly, to keep the Sabbath. And they say, well, that's all we're going to keep. Forget about the holidays. Well, every holiday is a Sabbath. You see? So how can we despise Jesus Christ, who is speaking and says, you keep them? Why? Because I am God. I am the Lord. I told you to do so. You don't need your own understanding of that of your church or your pastor or anybody else. They're not God. If they're God, well, your salvation is in their hand, and hopefully they'll resurrect you when the day comes. You see, but if you're smarter than that, you follow God and not men. We obey God. And God gives His Spirit only to those who obey Him, not disobey Him and have contempt for Him and reason in their own minds what they should do, what they should not do. God's made it very plain. Keep My Sabbath. Reverence My sanctuary. I am the Lord. And if you remember that, you're doing okay. And if you don't, obviously, everything is going to go wrong. And then, as an introduction that we have here in this segment of the Torah, well, people call it chapters later on and verses, it's just a continuous instructions by God through Moses or in person. He says, God continues here, if you walk in My statutes and keep My commandments, it's not your own man-made, inventions or whatever you want to call it. It's My commandments and My statutes. How many places do you go to nowadays and you hear this terminology? Well, here are the statutes of God. Here are the ordinances of God. Here are the testimonies of God. Here are the commandments of God. Oh, no, you hear all kind of other terminology. Even among many who call themselves the people of God, anything but these. You see? And yet many others were more humble in their own mind and heart and things like that and obey the law of God. Well, this is the terminology they use. But, as we mentioned earlier, even if you use the other terminology, Christian value and things like that, you have to understand, unless you're talking about the Torah of God that was given to Israel, that was given to Adam and Eve, that was given to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, this is not what you're talking about. If all you're talking about is about the new religion, we say, well, we're a New Testament church. You're idol worshippers. You've got another religion. You see? Your teachings and your concepts and ideas didn't come from God. They came from the whore out of which you came and in which you still are. And in the whores and the harlots, you know, that came out of it. You see? And that's what God is saying here. Making it very plain. You do your own thing. Well, we understand that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today forever. And Jesus Christ is the one, as Paul said, that Israel followed. And so he has his word, his language, his terminology, his culture. You see, and that's the reason, because God looks down, you know, at this age. Jesus Christ did look down at this age, and in the prophets, and in the writings of the disciples, and his own. He said, come out of Babylon. You are in Babylon. You don't realize it. You kid yourself that you are not. Come out of it. Otherwise, you're going to be partakers of her plagues. He said, come out of her, my people. And people who are not going to listen to that are going to be partakers of her plagues, and they'll learn things the hard way. Well, anyway, we should stop at this point. This is again Mordecai Joseph, greeting to all of God's people. Until next time.